Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. We are in Perek Yurches, the 18th chapter of Melachim Beis. And for those who've been thinking that it's been getting too hectic, a little too depressing, well, we're meeting a change in the tide. So this is actually a wonderful time we're about to encounter, although it starts off a little trying. So we are starting off with the chapter where Chizkiyahu becomes the king. Chizkiyahu was the son of Ahaz. Ahaz was a pretty terrible king, as we saw. But Chizkiyahu is different. He has a rule of 29 years, and we're told that he does everything which is good in the eyes of Hashem, including removing all the bamos, which means they're removing all of those altars, that the personal altars that people would use. These were things that were not removed in the times of other kings, even the kings who did good from the before him. In fact, Tanakh tells us that he ground up the Nachash HaNechoshes. Anybody remember what that is? And the Nachash Nechoshes comes up in Parshas Chukas, where Moshe Rabbeinu creates this copper snake, which is going to be the banner which people look at when they were bitten by the serpents in the desert. And when they looked at it, they were healed. Why did he grind it up? So Tanakh tells us because that people started calling it Nechushtan, and they started serving it. They started bringing incense offerings to it. apparently, in those days, people would say it still, they would use that as a divining agent, because it had properties, it had healing properties, and people would get lost by serving it. So Chizkiyahu would not have any of that, and ground it up. And there's halachically speaking, there's a prohibition of benefiting from avodah zarah. So he ground it up and threw it to the wind, so nobody would even enjoy the dust of it. another action that he did was that politically he rebelled against Ashur, against Assyria, and did not serve them anymore. And the Mefarshim tell us that the reason why he did this was because his father, Ahaz, served, not just, you know, paid homage, but really served Assyria. And in really changing the policies of his father on every level, it included this too. And he expands the territory in the south by conquering the Plishtim, and he conquers a number of their towns. So it sounds like really a grand opening to his rule. However, Tanakh reminds us that in the fourth year of his rule, that's when Hoshea ben Ela and the north fall, and the entire area is captured by Assyria under Shalmaneser. And Tanakh reminds us now to give us a sense of context for what's about to happen. So Sancheriv now becomes a new king of the north of Assyria, and he, in the 14th year, so we're talking about a number of years later, 10 years later, after the siege of the north, he sends a army in and captures most of the cities of Yehuda in the south. So he's really encroaching upon most of the strongholds of Yehuda under Chizkiyahu. And Chizkiyahu, realizing that he's back again, is against the wall, sends a message to Lachish, to the king, saying, "Chatasi, I sinned. Please, you know, go away. I'll pay you anything you want." And the king said, "Okay, no problem. Give me 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold," which is a huge, huge amount of money. And Chizkiyahu did that. He tried his best. He emptied out the coffers of the king. And in fact, it says he cut down the doors, which most of the Mefarshim say that it wasn't that he cut down the doors, but he scraped the gold leaf. He removed the gold from the covering of the doors of Yerushalayim, giving it to the king of Ashur. And apparently this was not enough, because just after that, the king of Assyria sent the head of his army, Rav Asaris, and Rav Sheka ben Lachish, to Chizkiyahu. Rav Sheka is a pretty bad guy, as we're going to see in a moment, and he sends an entire huge army to Yerushalayim to besiege it. It sounds like, as the Mitzuras points out, that he did not pay the taxes afterwards, meaning he emptied the coffers for the first year, but there afterwards the tax was too heavy for Chizkiyahu to pay in good faith. And so he did not carry on paying, which is what put him into this particular siege. So Rav Sheka comes out and he demands to see Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu does not go out of the city. Instead, he sends a delegation of Eliakim, Ben Chilkiyahu, who's in charge of the bias, Shevna, the Sofer, and Yoach, Ben Asaf, who's the Mazkir, who's the royal secretary. And they go out and Rav Sheka gives them this large speech. And basically he says the following: "Who are you trusting? Who do you have to trust? What, you trust that limp reed, who's Pharaoh of Egypt? You think he's going to save you? I'm going to crush him. That's how much you think your trust is in Egypt." Oh, you think you trust in God? Well, he says, you know, Chizkiah removed the bombers to all other gods. He says, well, yeah, well, let me ask you a question. He says, I'll give you 2,000 cavalry. And tell me if you have enough people to even ride them. That's how weak you are. You think you can fight against me? And he says in the following, in a very degrading sentence, why am I here? If God's so powerful, did he tell me to come? So this is clearly psychological warfare. There is an indication that Radak points out, based on the Chazal, that it could be that Rav Sheka, in fact himself, was a defected Jew. And as we know throughout history, we've seen them everywhere we go, that it's the Jew-hating Jew who is the worst. So he is really placed in the psychological torment. And in fact, what happens at this point in time is that the delegation, Eliakim leading the delegation, says, you know, Rav Sheka, would you mind just speaking in Armenian? Please speak, in a different language so that the people in the walls don't hear this taunting. Now, that's a very honest thing to do, but it's clearly not a very politically savvy approach, because Rav Sheka says, so I'm speaking to them, that's why I'm talking. And then he shouts out in Yehudi. He shouts out in the language that they understand very clearly. And he says, Ko Omar HaMelech Al Yasi Elochem Yechizkiyahu. Don't trust in Chizkiyahu. What? You think he's going to save you? He's going to save you from me? Really? Al tishmu el Chizkiyahu ki cho amar melech Ashur asuiti vracha utzu elai. You make peace with me. Defect from Chizkiyahu. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you your own geffens, your own ta'enas. You're going to drink your own waters of your pits. I'm going to give you a land which is just like yours, which is wonderful and beautiful and great. And don't trust in God. Did Hashem save the other nations who I exiled? Look at my dominion. Look at my rule. Do you think it's successful that anybody else has paid off and succeeded against me? So what he's trying to do over here is a psychological warfare once again. But also, as Rashi points out, this is the Assyrian foreign policy. Assyrian foreign policy is that when you exile a person or people, you take them and you place them in a new land in order to diminish the nationalistic rebellion that they would potentially have. So what he's saying is, I'll find you a good place. Leave Chizkiyahu alone. I'll find you a great place in the Fertile Crescent. I might, as Chazal point out, I'll send you to Africa. There's great potential over there, emerging economies. You take advantage. I'll give you Uganda. You say it, I'll take you there. And what's the response? The response is silence. Chizkiyahu had instructed everybody to be silent. They all, the people who were silent, the delegation are silent. They come back to Chizkiyahu Melech, and they come and they tear their clothes. Why they tear their clothes? Rashi points out, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that they tore their clothes upon hearing the Gidufei Hashem, the cursing of Hashem. And this is really a sad point, because what he is doing is not just psychological, but this is actually theological. He's attacking not just the people, but he's attacking Hashem. And upon hearing that, they tear their clothes. And this is how the Perek ends. It's a cliffhanger. What's going to be next? How is Chizkiyahu going to stand up? Is this going to be the end of all of Israel? That's the question that's left in our mind. We continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, as the tables turn. One thing which is worth noting is that this particular event in Tanakh is re-documented in Yeshayahu, Parakim Dalamed Vov Talamed Tes. And so for further perspective, we need to actually compare and contrast the version that appears in Melachim Beis Perek Yud Ches to those three Parakim, which is where the essential story happens, and we'll do that in the coming days. Mitzvah Hashem, have a wonderful and meaningful day.